But as a result, let me say this, that as a result of the cleanup efforts that began upon the murder of my father, the syndicate operating there was wiped out. It has never come back. And Phenix City has developed into a growing and prosperous city, about 25,000 people. It's growing now, developing very well. And of course, it conceivably it might never have happened had this not occurred.
Right.
And of course, this is a price that you wouldn't want to pay if you had a choice.
Right. But the good thing is there was a big good outcome came from that. You know, and I feel like you were probably a big part in that happening. You know, if it hadn't been for you being in the position to do something or, you know, take that over and do something, it may have, you know, been brushed under the table, you know, or something.
From the night that he was killed, for the next few weeks, the state official did everything they could to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
Officials out of Montgomery as well as Phenix City.
Yeah, you would imagine.
Did everything they could to cover that thing. It's an absolute miracle that we were ever able to solve that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in my judgment, and this is one of the reasons that motivated me in running for Attorney General, I don't believe that we would ever completely finish the job of cleaning up Phenix City or prosecuting the people who killed my father.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I had the office of Attorney General and the support of the legislature for the funds necessary to do it, and that was what motivated me in running for Attorney General. I had never had any interest in politics. It seemed like that politics was a little distasteful to me, and I was more interested in practicing law and making money.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this changed my life and put me in a different direction, and I don't regret it. But I've never been able to get out of it since that time.
Mm-hmm.
After a couple of years in the Attorney General's office, I saw that if I wanted to be governor, I had an opportunity to be governor. We hadn't completely finished the job of cleaning up Phenix City, and there were some other criminal problems in Alabama as well. And so that was another reason why I entertained the idea of running for governor.
Mm-hmm.
I ran, and 4 years later I ran in 1958. There was about 10 of us in the race. George Wallace and I finished first in the Democratic primary. Wallace finished second. He and I had a runoff, and I beat him in the runoff and was inaugurated governor in January of 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And I served 4 years as governor. I ran again. At that time, you couldn't succeed yourself. So I stayed out 4 years and then ran for governor again. And this time, I was beaten as well as all the rest of us by Lurleen Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
She beat all of us that time. And then that pretty well got me out of politics for a while. I ran an unsuccessful race for Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. And then I decided my political days were over. And so I went to practicing law in earnest and began to make some money. And have enjoyed practicing law.
Mm-hmm.
George Wallace and I, even though we have been political opponents in the past, he and I...
Yeah, we can pause then. Okay, we had a small interruption and we're back now. You were just talking about getting into being a lawyer and making some money and kind of not being into politics anymore.
Yeah, I was saying that Governor Wallace and I, even though we ran against each other in 1958, and it was a pretty bitter affair, we come from the same part of the country. We draw from the same type of people, political support, and it's only natural that we'd be friends. And so he and I are good friends. And I've helped him in his presidential races, traveled over the United States with him some. I've worked for him in some of his governor's races. About 14 years ago, something like that, he asked me one day, said, is there anything that you're interested in? And I said, yeah, one of these days, I'd like to serve on an appellate court in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll keep that in mind. relevant. A little over 12 years ago, he called me up one day and he said, are you still interested in serving on an appellate court? And I said, well, yeah, but you don't have a vacancy. He said, well, I'll have a vacancy Monday on the Court of Criminal Appeal. He said, the fellow that's serving on that in that position now don't like it. He's been here a year. He wants to go home. And he's going to resign Monday. And I'll appoint you Monday simultaneously with him resigning. And they said, I don't say nothing about it, and this will all be done before anybody starts talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, all right. So Monday morning, sure enough, he appointed me to the Alabama Court of Criminal Appeals. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am now, and I've been there over 12 years, and I like this appellate court work. Mm-hmm. You can't run for judge again after you're 70 years old, but you can serve out an unexpired term. So I'm serving my last term. I'm over 70. Mm-hmm. And I will, my term will end in January of next year, January the 15th of next year. Mm-hmm. At that time, I'm planning on continuing to work for the court, if they'll have me, and sort of work as a retired working judge. There are provisions for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not ready to quit, and I'm looking forward to doing something along that line when I retire next year. That sort of is a thumbnail sketch of my of my career.
Well, you know, I think that with a person like me, you could probably put my past history in a few minutes, but I don't think you could get everything of yours, you know. And I think you did a real good job of building the background and kind of hitting the highlights of everything.
Well, you look back on it, you know, fate has a lot to do with what happens to you in your life. And if my father had never been killed in Phenix City and had gone on to Montgomery and became Attorney General of the state, then nobody ever would have heard of me. I would have continued to live, I presume, in Phenix City. That was my intent, practicing law there. I'd probably be a lot better off financially if that had occurred, because you know, there's not a lot of money in politics.
More money in being a lawyer.
Being a lawyer than in politics. But I owe everything to my father. He's responsible for what has become of me, and I think about that every day. Mm-hmm. And but today I can say that today at Phenix City, Alabama, is a fine place. It's a growing and prosperous city. Mm-hmm. I was over there last week, and I know it. It's really coming along.
And you know, the thing is, you can say you had a major hand in that. You know, you said you had a lot of help, but you know, I think you did a lot too.
Well, we had a lot of good citizens in Phenix City that helped in the cleanup. A lot of people that laid their lives on the line. Mm-hmm. We finally got the governor to help in Montgomery. The governor's office had simply ignored that situation over there for decades. Mm-hmm. General Hanna, I can't say too much about him. You know, General Hanna, who was the Adjutant General of the National Guard at that time, was sent over there by Governor Persons, and he was the man. And he came over there, and he had the power and the will to do something about it, and he really did. The Chief Justice Livingston sent Judge Walter B. Jones of the Circuit Court of Montgomery County over to take over the courts. Mm-hmm. Everybody in Phoenix City, every public official in Phoenix City was tied up with a racket. So they just removed the circuit judge over there and sent in a Judge Walter Jones. And Judge Jones took charge of the thing. Mm-hmm. They cleaned out the jury box. They cleaned out the ballot box. They restored honest government to Phoenix City. And the result of that thing was a cleanup. Now, when it comes to Judge Jones, he did a remarkable job. Judge Jones and General Hanna. Mm-hmm. If the Lord had picked two people to do that job, that's the two people he would have picked. Quite remarkable that you would find two people like that who had the ability and had the nerve and the guts to go over there and do that job. That's a remarkable thing.
Well, I think that you know, what you're saying is that they had as strong a commitment to it as you did, even though they didn't have the personal involvement.
That's right. That, you know. That's exactly right. Judge Jones and General Hanna became close personal friends of mine, and I had great admiration for them and for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the when they cleaned out the jury box over there, you know, the way they picked juries in the old days in Phoenix City, they would bring in the jury box at the beginning of the jury term, and they would set it up on the desk of the judge, and the clerk would unlock the locks on it, and then he'd run his hand down in the jury box and into the box that had the jurors' names in it. He'd run his hand down in there, and he'd pull out a package of 3x5 cards with a rubber band around, and he would just deal them off the top, and that would be the jury and the grand jury for the coming term. It was always the same people.
Huh.
And we knew who the foreman of the grand jury was going to be 6 months ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you say, well, why did people put up with that? Well, if you buck the system anyway, or you express some dissatisfaction with it, they would boycott you. That didn't work, they'd burn you out. That didn't work, they'd kill you.
Yeah.
And people were scared to death of them. And we had people that went to Montgomery and went to the governor's office on many occasions and said, look, come over here and give us some help. This is a terrible situation. The governor's office would say, look, that's a local thing. You folks mm-hmm. are going to have to do something about that yourself. And before you get out of the governor's office, there'd be somebody in the governor's office calling those gangsters over in Phoenix City and telling them who was over there.
Mm.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
And not only that, the federal people, the United States Justice Department turned their backs on it too. They could have done something about it themselves, but they wouldn't help either. It was just a bad thing, and it took a terrible thing to wake people up and get them to do something about it.
Well, when the news was out that your father had been assassinated, who was the one that actually called in the National Guard? The government?
Governor Persons, but Governor Persons didn't call the National Guard in until he was pressured to do it
mm-hmm.
by the Jefferson County Grand Jury, probably more than anything else.
Mm.
I think that I don't think he was reluctant to do it, but mm-hmm. finally the public opinion was such that he couldn't do anything else but do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll say one thing for him. Once he committed himself to that thing, he went all the way.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't hold back nothing. He went all the way.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it took, you know, a lot of involvement and a lot of people going after it, you know, in order for that to happen.
Well, when my father was running for Attorney General in the runoff election,
mm-hmm.
on the night of the election, it looked like that he was going to win. And an effort was made statewide to try to steal the election from him. It was sort of reminiscent of a recent election in Alabama. The chairman of the Democratic committee mm-hmm. in Birmingham, in Jefferson County, a fellow named Lamar Reed, let the attorney general of the state, who later was indicted for the murder of my father, let him and the district attorney from Phoenix City, who was also indicted, and some others take the voting records from the courthouse down to a local hotel where they altered the recapitulation sheet and stole 600 votes from my father that way.
Mm-hmm.
They were caught doing this. A reporter with the Birmingham News happened to spot this thing. They were caught. The Jefferson County Grand Jury commenced an investigation of this thing, and they had the Attorney General of the state and the governor and also the District Attorney from Phoenix City up there before the grand jury grilling them about that.
Mm-hmm.
The chairman of the Democratic committee that had let him do this, he confessed and implicated all of them in the thing. So when my father was certified the winner of the election, which was 17 days after he was elected,
mm-hmm.
It was well known that he was going to Birmingham the following Monday to testify before the Jefferson County Grand Jury about knowledge that he had concerning vote stealing.
Mm-hmm.
And here the Attorney General of the state, the prosecuting attorney, a district attorney of Phoenix City, the officials, not only the state officials as well as county and city officials, as well as the gangsters who ran the rackets,
mm-hmm.
They realized that if they didn't do something, the jig was up for that.
Yeah.
And so controlling all facets of law enforcement as they did, I think that they were encouraged and brazen enough to think that they could go over there to his office and kill him that night and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they went over there, and I think they tried to argue with him, and they killed him.